Blog Talk Radio.
Don't go my liar. You're my provider. Jehovah Nisha. Lord, you reign and victory. Jehovah Shalom. You're my prince of peace. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Zion, you're my provider. Jehovah Nisha, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, and I will worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I can lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. They call your name to write that song. Now that song is going to come out of the blue. He said, but call of who you are. I mean, you recognize that God was God Almighty himself. Because he said, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because we know well the Lord has gone in the storm. We know what God has done for him in his own life. So he said, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I can give you praise. Oh, it's the Bible, you find out who God is. You can go beyond that, what you think that you can do. You can stretch out and give your chest just a little bit more fit, because you know he is God all by himself. And I understand if God don't do it, it can't be done. But because of who you are, I give you glory. Yes. I can lift up my voice and say, I worship you because of who you are. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. If you don't want to recognize God, I guarantee you you'll recognize him on the end.
All right.
Hallelujah. Amen. You can have to go away right now. You don't recognize anything. But at the end, you're going to save your job. Whoa. Glory to God, this time, amen. You know, I'm trying to pray, man. Y'all come on. Come on, everybody, man. Y'all know what y'all going to do, man. I don't know, but, glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. Y'all come on, put y'all hands together, please. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Let boys you hear me. I'm Mike Cooper.
Thank you.
My soul cries out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, I bless you. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. I just praise
you. Hallelujah.
Glorify the Lord. That they will cry out. Come and give me the trouble. every bit of trouble, every situation that falls on you. Lord, some of the enemy come against you one way. I have sin it being shoved away. That was the thing. That when the devil come against you, will not be through with him. The old black folk are not the same, so he came in.
Thank you.
I'm in it in your song. Holy Spirit, your rain on me, yeah. I need a touch from you. Things have been going my way lately, Lord. I need a touch from you. And I need you right now. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Even from the morning in you. originally written as one book in the ancient time, but it was separated. by the Hebrew, Greek, Old Testament as they separated. So they both got the call and the burden from God at the same time. Ezra being a priest and a scribe, he wasn't there to do the labor, but he had to bring their spiritual selves back to God. Somebody say, "What pastor doing? Keeping me in tune with God." Three people believe that. Hello. So that's what Ezra's job. Nehemiah's job was to get orchestrated the building and set. That's what the deacons do. See, they orchestrate the building of the temple while the preachers set the spiritual set in order.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yes. Nehemiah stood before King Artaxerxes with a broken heart. Nehemiah, not Ezra. Because he was concerned also. The burden was on him. And he wanted to reestablish or rebuild his connection with God. Been in captivity so long. Glory to God, amen. He'd been separated from the Father, from the old school, from my roots. See, sometimes, amen, we get out there in the world doing our own thing. We think this thing is about, well, when we get that notion that going to church was punishment. There seems to be a conception in the minds of the church folk that going to the house of the Lord is your punishment. Huh? But your bad self called it go to church. So now even the kids are saying, "I gotta go to church. You better be good because you know I'm gonna make you go to church." And so the grown-ups walk in the house of God with the same mentality. This Paul stuck out, saying, "I hope Bishop and Pastor don't be alone, because I got something I want to do." That's the way we worship. We call ourselves worshiping our Father in his house. We come in his sanctuary with a mentality of, "Lord, have mercy, and I got to go hit up with a long-winded self up there talking about God, and they're going to be talking a long time, and I got stuff to do," instead of coming with the mentality, "I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to get to know." See, until you get to know God, you can think like that. You can think some crazy thoughts. Get a crazy thought. You can say some weird, crazy thoughts until you get to know God. But coming to the house of God, coming to his Bible study, coming to his worship services, coming to his Sunday school, where you can learn of him, picking up your Bible and reading it and prayer time and talking with God, will get you into fellowship with him. And so when time to go to meet the Lord, you get up early in the morning. You start running and preparing to go to the house of God. Because y'all fellowship now. I know God. Help somebody. Everybody don't serve God in the same manner. I know people don't agree with that. Everybody don't do it the same way. The one way to serve God is hope in the spirit and in truth. Help somebody. So here we are with Nehemiah. Everything he felt shown on his face. There are some people that I don't care if they say, "You already here, I'm already." And I don't care how they try to smile. It shows on their face that there's pain and there's hurting. And Nehemiah wasn't trying to smile because he was worried about the house of God. And he was worried about the people of God because God had put a burden on him, the same burden that he put on Ezra, to start working on their spiritual side. God started putting a burden on Nehemiah to work on the natural and start building from the outside. He helped somebody. He got concerned, and King Artaxerxes saw the look on his face. He, "You got to understand, you don't stand before a king. If you don't know nothing about you, you're going to Bible study. You'll learn about kingdom principles, real kingdom principles, and kingdomship." And see, back in those days, you knew better than to stand before or in the presence of the king looking like you mad at somebody.
Amen.
Right. That's right. Let me talk to y'all. See, you don't come in the house of God in a spirit of anger. Contention. Like you upset with serving God. You don't come loving arm. Even as she's gone. How many of y'all walk up in your mama's face and, you know, I don't even want to be here, but I'm sitting out, I'm going to see you anyhow. Because she's my mama. I'm going to put that in. Come on. Said, my day, four months for mommy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't care how bad mama made me, and I don't care how bad she beat me. You don't talk about my mama.
Right.
How those fight words. But today, they disrespect mama. And everybody else's mama.
Amen.
So if you come up in the house of God and if somebody raised your neck and threw you in the house of God, you ought to be skipping and jumping to get in the it bothers me when I look out in the pew to see folks raised up in the house of God looking at this. What you doing here? Why did you come in the presence of God? Don't you know you put yourself in danger? And there was Nehemiah standing before the king who had the power to say, cut his head off. Cut out his tongue. Put out his eyes. He got the nerve to stand in my presence looking like that. Who stood before the king? When you get a burden from the Lord, when God puts something on you to do a work, you do it. There's a burden that won't leave you. You might be trying to do something else, but that burden is still there. He said, God anointed my voice and told me to sing it in quiet. But I got things to do. I mean, they have choir here so many and I don't want to come out there with this. I got stuff I want to do. So I'm not going yet. And then after a while, you start trying to sing on a mother song and your voice starts leaving you. Then you start going through all kinds of hardships and tribulations. Things start happening. You drop. You lose your job. Get sick in your body, some of your children get sick, husband walk away, wife walk away, all kinds of disturbed finances, don't care how much you make, it's just like a hole in your money basket because it keeps falling out of the bottom. I'm going to have XYZ dollars, but it seems like I only got X, but now every time I put XYZ in there, it comes up with X. Because everything is X and it's my pocketbook. So he stood there. And he wanted God to speak to the man of God. I mean, to the man, the preacher, the king, king on the record that he stood in front of. Because the man of God was praying on the other end. You see, we got men and women of God that are not praying. If you pray, God starts moving some stuff. And see, Ezra was praying, and God dealt with Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was the one to get it done. So he called Ezra, and he told him, he said, call the people together. They ain't called them on the phone. They were in the same camp. No. They were all under captivity in bondage. God will speak to you in your trouble. Just because you're going through something right now, I don't think that you own that. That's not yours. God will speak to you in your troubles and tell you what he wants you to do. Don't say, well, Lord, I can't do it because, you know, I just think, I can't get no money. I ain't got no transportation. Do what God told you to do. And I guarantee you, he'll start moving stuff for you. People got to understand that once you obey God, the Bible says obedience is better than a sacrifice. If you start moving toward him, he'll start moving toward you. Take care of what he told you to do.
Yeah,
he'll work everything out for you. Glory to God. Amen. But we want to come and things going back. We want God to touch that situation. But all week long, all month long, amen, we barely called his name. We barely stayed in his house. We barely came to his presence. But right now, I got a situation, and I need to go in the presence of God. These people have been in the captivity for 400 years. Now it was time. God put a burden on them. That now it's time to get the people back to me. Now it's time to rebuild of Jerusalem that was completely destroyed. Rebuild the walls. Rebuild the city so that my people can come back and worship me because I'm getting ready to bring them back to my bosom. God scattered them. Because of their hard head, stiff neck, and disobedience. So Nehemiah called Ezra and said to call, told him to call the people together in a solemn assembly and read the laws of the word of God, read the holy scriptures, so that they'll know what thus says the Lord. And so the people, listen to this, carefully, church. When the people heard the reading of the scriptures, then all of them began to cry out and weep and wail. Can you imagine, glory to God, amen, for so many years, over 40 years, they have been set up in captivity. For so many years, they hadn't heard the scriptures. Some of them, those that knew about God, had already died out. And even though they tried to teach their people, they had to mix in with them unsaved folks so long, they started acting like them. They started worshiping their God, so they forgot about the true and the living God. Come on. And they start doing things out of the ordinary. They start committing sins and sleeping around with each other and woman with woman, man with man, and brother sleeping with sister and son sleeping with father's wife and all that old wicked nasty stuff. And then they start worshiping idol gods because they didn't have the word of God to keep them.
Yeah.
No excuse today. Tell somebody no excuse. Glory to God. Say, I got a mind. Glory to God. Amen. So when the people heard the reading of the scriptures, the Bible said they began to weep and wail. But Nehemiah told them, they don't cry. Rejoice. Because guess what? This is the day of the Lord. This is a time for rejoicing and not sorrow. When you find yourself in the word of God, you need to rejoice. Come on, somebody. When you find that you have messed up, stop rejoicing because God allowed you to catch up to yourself. He's going to allow you to drop dead in your sin and lift up your eyes in hell. But he brought you to yourself, and that is the time to praise him because you got a chance to fix it. Don't worry about it. Hey, we've been rebuilding this thing. See, the devil will try to get you. See what you did. I know you weren't saved. Call yourself a preacher. I'll be talking about Jesus. Who are you? You call yourself a saint in the house of God. Serving on the usher board in the choir. I'll see what you done did. But when you get into the word of God, the Bible says, God says, I'm going to send you a deliverer who is my son, who came from me, and he's going to die and save his people from all of their sins. All you gotta do is receive.
Yes.
Oh, I don't worry about that. Stop talking. Hey, pick up the good stuff. Talk to somebody. Get some joy in your heart because you found yourself. If I read the scripture and I don't see my error in it, I read some more because I realize, glory to God, that God is trying to talk to me and keep me straight. So I keep reading and I say, oh, okay, that's me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help my faith. Help my unbelief. Help me to walk around that mess so I can stand up in your glory.
Yes. Yes.
My God. Deliver me, Lord. Somebody say, deliver me, Lord. So when Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he found more than just broken walls. He found broken lives. How many know in the house of God there are a lot of broken lives? There are so many people torn and ripped in the house of God. People are hurting and they don't know how to resolve that hurt. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. They done been beat down. They done been talked about. Tell somebody. They done been ridiculed. They done been used and abused. And so now they come to the house of God and they get more abused. They get more ridiculed. Tell somebody. The more discord is thrown against them. But Nehemiah said, don't worry about it. Because with Ezra preaching the word and me orchestrating the building Revelation. Jesus told one church, he said, go back to your first love. You left your first love. Repent. And do your first work. So we got to do it all over again. That's all right. So it's okay. It's okay. Let the devil know. I don't mind praying. I don't mind repenting. I don't mind crying out. Glory to God. Amen. Because God is building me fresh and new. God is making me a brand new temple. A brand new tabernacle. I'm not what I used to be. Tell somebody I'm not what I used to be. So Nehemiah gathered the people together to hear Ezra read God's law. And the people repented. Somebody say repent. and promised, somebody say, I promise, to change my ways and to obey God's word. No matter where we live, backsliding is an everlasting danger. What are you talking about, Pastor? Everything that you used to do, when you say, I ain't going to do it no more, I'm so easy now. Folk will come to your house, knock on your door. The ones that led you astray start calling you all the time. What you do? Want to ride out? Want to go on a road? Call somebody. Now let's go to the mall. You got no money. Stay away from the mall. Then you get up and go anyway. Bring your big pocketbook. Hello. And it's discount of three. And next thing you know, the phone rang. Mama, can you come get me out? Lord. Change your ways. Because backsliding is so present, it's so easy to fall back into the old way. Because that's what the flesh want to do. If you don't spend time with God. See, Israel didn't have no time with God no more because they went into captivity. And because they were in captivity, they had started adjusting to the ways of the people of that land. They started worshiping their idol God. See, some people worship anything that didn't move or moved. Hello. It may be the sun today, the moon tomorrow, the stars the next day, a worm that crawl on the floor, anything. Whatever they felt like making as their God, they did. And so when you don't spend time with God, when you don't learn about God, you'll fall behind and do the same thing. Next thing you know, you find yourself back into that mess that you was once in. But let me tell you what Jesus says about that. Any backslider that turns away from God and goes back into the world, it's just like when a dog throw up, vomit, and eat it again. Eating your vomit. And he says, if you get delivered, God sets you free. And you get your deliverance and you go back out there, that same demon that was in you that came out, he went out and got some more. Wait a minute, I see an empty house. Come on. He got seven nobodies that were worse than him, and he came back in you. Now you're worse than what you were. And he said, man, I'm doing stuff I never would have done. Now you see, oh, God, deliverance. Huh? Now you need degrees from head to toe, thrown in a bucket of water, into an ocean of water, rolled around on the floor, till you get your deliverance. But we have to constantly check our behavior and compare it to what the Bible says. This is a day-to-day thing, looking into the mirror. That's what the Word of God is, a mirror. If you can't live holy because you ain't reading the scriptures, tell them, thus they be ye holy, for I am holy. He didn't say that just putting it out there in the atmosphere because it wasn't impossible or wasn't possible to be done. He said it because he knew it was possible. All you have to do is apply the word daily. Were you reading and watching, reading those novels that you read or watching those soaps or whatever it is you watch on TV, put the word of God before your face. Replace that with the word of God and watch your spirit to grow. Amen. Don't make going to church just something to do because you're going to get on one day you're going to be mean. And you would not have accomplished anything in God. And everything that comes your way, you're faint at. But you got to learn to stand bold and know who God is. Know the God that you serve. God's work has to be done. But you got to first lay the foundation. That's the first job. That's the first job. Then you got to first get started. If you don't ever get started, if you don't ever get up off your bed and go to church, if you don't ever turn down some of these invitations you get to go out and do stuff you should be doing and turn to the church, if you don't ever turn your feet toward God, you will never ever get started in rebuilding yourself in God. Some of you, God wants to use you in such a great and a mighty way. And these churches all over the land, but church is not church as it used to be. It's not church as usual no more. It's just like, come on, let's get a quick fix. I've done my duty for Sunday, and now I'll go out and do my own thing. There's no devotion and no dedication to the Lord. And we wonder why things are happening like they are. We wonder why spirits are rampant upon the earth, because people are not totally sold out to the Lord. You got to first get started in this thing. It's not about just saying I'm saved and speaking it and taking a scripture, posting it on Facebook. It's not about just saying something to somebody else, but it's how you say it. Guess what? The fire will try you to see how strong you're working. The Apostle Paul said you're going to be tried with the fire. The fire will let you know if you really know what you're talking about and believe what you're talking about. But when I'm trying to talk, it's how you stand up under it. Your job is to be completed. It's got to first get started. I've been going to church now for 5 years, you know. Twice a month. Hello. That's not devotion. I read my Bible sometimes. That's not dedication. You scheduled to go to work Monday through Friday, Tuesday through Saturday, Wednesday through Monday, whatever your schedule is, and they say be here at 8:45, clocking in at 8:49 is late. You're clocking in at 8:20. On time, so you can be on time every day. Talk about God. The people have to have a mind to work, a mind to be in the house of God. And the only people that can give you that mind is God in His Word. It takes the Word of God. You can't stay saved without the Word of God. You can't stay saved without assuming yourself together with the saints of God. You can't stay in the will and the works of God without devotion, without praise and worship, without getting in the presence of God. That's what praise and worship is about. We take our praise and worship leaders as somebody that's doing a show. I like the way he clapped. Yeah. And we shuffle on in church like we want to after praise and worship is over. But that's where the deliverance is. When you begin to worship and glorify God, don't let nobody sit next to you because they don't feel like moving. Stop you. You get up and glorify God because, see, they don't know your story. They don't know your pain. And once you begin to give it all to God and glorify God, He will bring you up because your praise is drawing Him close to you. Don't let that spirit stop you from getting in the presence of God. Or you can't get your deliverance. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Because I'm scared. You got that spirit got you bound. That spirit won't let you glorify God. It won't let you stretch out in God. It's keeping you from getting in the presence of God. Because that spirit knows that once God come on the scene, it got to go. Some jobs that you're doing or some things that's going on in your life, they look like a mountain. Glory to God. You might say, I can't do this. I can't fix this. There's no way out for me. I've tried everything. Glory to God. Amen. I don't even qualify for this position. But guess what? God qualifies you to do anything. Every child of God is qualified. Glory to God. Amen. Because He has changed your mind. He has put confidence in you to know that you can learn anything. You can do anything. There's nothing too hard for you. Glory to God. When you got stuff to apply yourself. But guess what? It ain't a lot for you sitting up under the shade tree. And on the couch watching TV. It ain't gonna work for you. Glory to God. Excuses, they come easy. You now don't have time. Glory to God. If your worship is over, you don't have time. I don't have time. I don't feel like it. That flesh don't feel like doing nothing. Don't depend on your flesh because it don't feel like doing it. It don't feel like worshiping God. It don't feel like going to church. The flesh wants sin because that's all that's in your flesh is sin. That's why God said you got to worship me in spirit. Don't go about what your flesh wants. Forget about your flesh. Kill that flesh. Our church brothers from Pittsburgh used to say we die daily. You got to work on that thing daily. You allow you to start working on that lying tongue. Hello? So you have to pluck it out. Start working on it. The Jews must have been overwhelmed by the magnitude of the large job that was ahead of them. Surely it seems difficult. My friends look like they're having a good time out there in that mess. Glory to God, they keep right on going and end up either hooked on drugs or strapped with a sexually transmitted disease or losing their job or sick or there's something because they're out there wallowing in sin. And you know that? And all y'all that smoke, yes, some of y'all still in the smoking. And don't get me wrong. It's what you do to your body is destroying the temple of God. That's the great point in the Bible, so I can't tell you sin, but it's a sin to destroy the temple of God. But you pay $8 a pack to kill yourself. I used to smoke way back when, and I think it was like 6% a pack when I quit. So y'all know that was a long time. So I would have quit because they wouldn't get my $8. I'm not going to pay that much money to cash. You ain't going to pay. Come on now. Here, give me a pack of that. Extra long, mild, super-sized death. Hello. So Solomon's beautiful temple was reduced to a mere frame because when the Babylonians came, they destroyed everything and took Israel captive. But guess what? When God comes in the building, I don't care what it looked like on the outside. God started working on the inside, transforming the outside, and things start changing on the outside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm working to people that say, you know, hey, oh, my goodness, you're such a beautiful woman. And I said, this stuff is, I looked in the mirror this morning. I know I'm older than you. Nobody looked at that. I said, the Holy Ghost. They don't mean that kind of, you know what I'm talking about? The Holy Ghost will transform you because of the glow of God in you. And you're always smiling. You're not walking around the bed of you sucking on a little folks scared to talk to you. Because on the inside, there's a joy on the inside. That even though you're crying, they can see you in the middle of something right now. And see you hurt right now because Rick Daniel gave you a 3-day notice. And you don't know how to take care of that situation. But when you run into strangers, they say, you know, you're so beautiful. You have such a sweet personality. And they don't know you just crying on the inside. That the joy of the Lord is your strength. And God is doing something in the midst of that smile. So one day, glory to God, even while you're smiling, so we got the Lord send you another notice and say, we got another month. Hello, it was a mistake. Go ahead and get your money again. All right. Or somebody give you what you need. Yes. To meet your needs. You got to start working things on your behalf. Hello, somebody. Yes. Glory to God. So there are hindrances, glory to God, in our faces. And people start talking, glory to God, against you, against your work, glory to God, because you seem like you're doing a good work. And they say to you, you don't have to go to church every time the door's open. What if I don't tell me I don't have to go to work every day? You got to clock in every day. Yeah. Try it and see what happens to your paycheck. If they don't pull your car and send you home, but you got a paycheck for 3 days on. Well, why didn't they know that they didn't work this week? Why I got such a little paycheck? Because Benson told you didn't have to clock in every day, call off sick, and you run around with her now on Friday, you got $3 and you wonder why. Wow. The key to land, the right foundation is worship. Always remember that worship precedes blessings. Worship is not just always just singing. Worship is bringing your mind into God, glorifying God, concentrating on God, giving Him honor in your life. In the things that you do and say. We worship Him daily. We are a worship to God. In order for his tabernacle to be strengthened and to be built, see, listen, let me back up. You are the tabernacle today. In the olden days, it was the building. Hello. But how many know the Spirit of the Lord is not in the building? He's here because I'm here. All right, that's what I'm talking about. Some of y'all didn't bring it with me. But everywhere I go becomes a sanctuary to the Lord, because wherever I am, I bring him with me. So I can rebuild, no matter where it's at. I can go to your house and rebuild that sanctuary, because the presence of the Lord is there, because I'm there. You better get that confidence in you. You don't have the Holy Spirit, you gotta seek for it. Amen. You better tell God, fill me with your spirit so that I can walk around rebuilding. Glory to God. Amen. Because when you walk in the house of God, that's when the spirit come in. If you bring him in with you, but if you bring the whole weird, nasty, dirty, stinking, rotten spirit in, and you don't get your deliverance, I don't say, well, I ain't getting that nine service today. You didn't bring nothing with you but junk. You didn't lose that junk. You keep that garbage, you take it back with you. Don't leave it in the sanctuary. Take it back with you. If you don't want to be free, if you don't want to be delivered, you brought it with you, take it back out there with you. Don't leave it in the sanctuary for it to fall on somebody else.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, folks don't understand, preachers, that's real. That if you come in the house of God with your mind all scattered, that spirit in you would multiply itself by the spirit from somebody else that came in with that same kind of mind. And then you wonder why when you go back out there, you're doing things worse than what you were doing before. When you come in the house of God, see, when the power of God come on the scene, when he prays with you to really glorify God and break it through, when the music is playing to the glory of God and the presence of God into the house with the worshipers and the people are lifting up their voices to God, those spirits stop jumping around because they can't stay under the presence of God. And if you weep in your mind and in your spirit, he'll jump right in you. And you go home wondering why you cussing and hitting people upside the head, and why y'all fighting, and there's no reason. Why y'all cussing each other out on the way home? Because those spirits took over. Hello?
Amen.
You got to be careful. When you're building the house of God, just like Sambalot and Tabaris and Tobias, and if you come to Bible study, you'll learn who they are. You, when you're building the house of God, you got Sambalot and Tobias right there waiting to hinder the work of the Lord.
Right.
They'll tell you stuff to get you off course, to get you all twisted up in your head, and then it sounds good. But you gotta keep the Bible in your heart and keep your mind focused on God and wield your weapon at all times, because the enemy knows the word of God better than you do. But you don't have no time for God. He was with God from the beginning. Hello? He know God. And he know that he can't do nothing to you unless God gives him permission. But see, you don't know that, so you open the door and let him in yourself. By your own wicked deeds. You open the door. You're the one. You say, all right, this is happening to me. No, look in the mirror.
All right.
Hello? Give the party. Stand up. This ain't a game, people. It's not a game we play. And we play, when I was a child, I thought of a child. But when I became a woman, I put away childish things. I became a woman. I was married at the age of 17. I was a woman. Hello? I stopped playing jackstones. Oh, y'all don't know what that is. The kids are there on the ground. But just the folks my age know what jackstones is. And shooting marbles and climbing trees. Yeah, I do that. I get a whooping for it, but I still do that. We stopped doing the little girly things, jumping rope, because now I'm a woman, now I gotta cook food for my husband, help somebody, wash the clothes, clean the house, go to work, help earn a living, raise my children. Now I gotta be a woman. When you come in God's house, you stop acting like a child. When you come in the presence of God, sin is childish. That's ridiculous. And it's tearing you down. It's destroying you. The Bible said the people perish for the lack of
Jesus came to sanctify you, to cover you under the blood. God rebirth you. Now all he wants to do is rearrange you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Well, I was raised like that. Well, you're on the Lord's side. Now God is rearranging you. That's why you keep getting beaten. Oh, glory to God. See, I used to get beaten all the time.
Miss America Day. Oh, dang. Hello. What time I almost burnt down the house set if I have to my mama dress? Stupid stuff like that. I mean, stuff that you ain't got no business doing. I used to do. And wonder why I'm getting beaten. Why she beating me? But I'm bad. Until I learned. I didn't touch no fire no more. Until I learned. Sneaking out of the house. I learned after I got my whooping. And so now God is trying to re-raise you. So some of the stuff you're going through, except for the stuff that you brought for yourself, some of the stuff you're going through is just your whooping. Hello. So what you do when you get a whooping is you don't go do it no more. Because mama's going to beat me. Daddy's going to beat me if I do that again. So I'm not going to do that no more. Now your good old friend, come on, I ain't going to tell nobody. And soon as it gets hard, they will tell somebody. Now you know what Sabbath is. But don't tell nobody. Because I told them I'm not going to tell nobody. Can you keep the secret? If somebody come to you with this, can you keep the secret? They probably got the 100th person that heard that secret, so you might just leave that alone. Tell them, you know what? No, because if you tell them, they'll tell them. Because you know they already told you. 100 of the people they got to you. Can you keep a secret? You ought to laugh in their face. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The people have a mind to work. Without murmuring, without dispute, they're coming around. Pastor, man, we have a this, we have the that. We got to go to practice. We got to do this. We got to pass them on this. Pass them. I know my ego's been like that. I was over there with the people had a mind to worship God and glorify God. They had a mind to serve God at all times. Tell somebody, I got a mind. They had a mind to help their brethren. They had a mind to fellowship. I think one time we come to church, we'll put a musical chair. I told Minister Carroll, I said, everybody come in and sit on this side over here. And all the chairs, I said, no, we'll do next time. We're going to turn the pews upside down over here. And everybody got to do this side first. Hello?
Some stuff that y'all put on the older and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They smell all right over there. It's okay. It's good. I'm saying it's good. It's cool. They have a mind to serve one another and a mind to give to the work. Now, I'm going to get in your pocket. Tell somebody else in my pocket. A mind to give to the work, a mind to pay bills. See, I understand if you don't pay your own bills.
Wait. I understand if you're not a bill payer. Okay. So if you don't pay your bills, tell them. That means you're a thief and a robber. It's time to act. By the gift season was his. You done bought them people stuff. Signed a contract saying I'll pay for it. I know you're lying from the very beginning. The first time they get up to the house, they don't sit on the mic. Staying in their house, using their electricity. Don't pay the light bill and go flip the light switch. Who flipped the light switch for? You know you didn't pay the light bill. Disappointed when you get a notice that you ain't paid rent.
You go out there and get in your car and it's gone and you surprise. They ain't seen a place that for you in how many months? And we say somebody done stole our car. The repo man just took back what was written in. If you're going to be a child of God, honesty starts first. He said, serve me in spirit and in truth. Stop lying. Stop living a lie and thinking you a Christian. Christian means to be Christ-like. Jesus paid the highest debt of all. My God. I can't expect none of y'all to pay the kind of price for me, so I'm not going to even put it there. But for all of us, neither one of us would have paid that high. That's a high debt. My God, he paid for debts that wasn't even his. Hello? The biggest, who's going to pay? I'm all right. If I say, you ain't going to pay that piece, and I got to pay for that car, I say, well, I ain't gonna co-sign on nothing. They ain't gonna be calling me because they paid for it. Jesus knew, deacon, that we could pay. Did he say, no, I'm not gonna do it that way? He looked at that company, saw it as that mess. He had never thought so. He said, Father, whoa. Those some horrible people. Now I'm paraphrasing. My God, the stuff they doing. And they gonna do? He was looking all the way down to 2014 and saw all the stuff we doing up in here. He said, oh my Father, this is rough. I'm gonna have to pay some strong price for the sins of these people. But then he saw our faces. And he said, don't worry about it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it just for that. He paid the price for you and me. So if you want to pay the debts to the people you owe, give Caesar what's due him. And then Jesus said, give God what?
He said, I'm not even about the reach of Bible. He said, give God what's due him. Give him his 10%. Give him his offering. Give him his time. His fellowship with you. Give him your body, your presence, your mind. Give yourself over completely unto him. Give a mind to work. Get a mind to serve God. And the only way to get that mind is you've got to get in the word of God and let him saturate you and rebuild your mind. The Apostle Paul said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you got to allow God to transform you. And then we look again at Philippians 4 and 8. He says, finally, my brother. And this is how you will get this thing. Listen carefully. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. And whatsoever things are justified. Whatsoever things are pure. Holy, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Saturate your mind with what's right. Stop always looking for wrong in everybody and everything. Some folks come to church looking for problems. Come to church saying, that's wrong and that's wrong. I have people come to me, Pastor so-and-so, and I'm like, how did you do that? Were you not in the spirit? Were you not praising God when you should have been praising? Were you not worshiping God? When should have been worshiping, how did you see all of that? Hello? When you're in God, you're saturating him. You think on the things that are true. You think on the things that are honest. Your mind is so saturated with justifiable things and pure things and lovely. When you see somebody in God, all you see is good stuff because you see in Jesus and whatever they do wrong, God forgives them, so you got to do it too. Pray for them if they mess up. See, the people have a mind, that when you have a mind, you set a goal. I heard somebody say, I got a goal. When you set a goal, you work toward that goal. You do whatever it takes to get to that goal, to accomplish that thing. The people have a goal, and they have a mind to work. And that work was to rebuild the temple of God, rebuild the walls that surrounded Jerusalem, your walls that surround you, your protective covering that God had around you, the blood of Jesus, somehow has been torn down because you have no fellowship with the Father. You have no fellowship with God. And now you're missing something, and the enemy has come in to breach you. Glory to God. Because he came in to destroy. So now it's time to stop up the breach. Tell somebody. To bring yourself back to worship. To bring yourself back to fellowship with God. To bring yourself back to loving the only true and the living God. It's time to get real with God. It is no time to play games. We can't play games. There's no time to just get it down and walk in with shallow. You know, every now and then you put your foot down in the water. If you have ever bathed every now and then, just turn the water, you'll turn on water, put your foot in there. People will not want to be around you after a while. Yeah, I love you. Come on. Hurry up. Because there's no soap and water. Let the word be the soap and water. Get deep into that word. Stop taking your feet and wallowing it in the tub a little bit just to wet up so people can say you touch some water. But how about getting deep in the word of God? Picking it up, reading it, asking God for understanding, coming to your Bible study. I guarantee you, I say this all the time, if I can just give God 6 months of devotion and dedication, 6 months of pure worship, service, coming to your services, picking up your Bible and reading your Bible, praying God without ceasing, praying daily, stand up before God. If you can saturate your mind, separate yourself from drinking and smoking and all this stuff, drugs and all that other stuff, and saturate yourself with the things of God. If you give them 6 months, I guarantee you, you won't want to go back to that other side. I don't care how rough it is, and I don't care how hard your time seems to be. Nothing can bring you back to the other side, because now you have a place in God. Amen. And you don't want to lose your place. How many times you get up in a crowded place and you say, be returned? Isn't that what they say? In other words, you come back to somebody that's got your seat. When you get a place in God, it's seat returned. Mm-hmm. I'm not leaving. I'm not losing. I'm not, because if I leave, I'm going to lose my seat. I'm done. We're just going to go out for the day. Mm-hmm. I got a seat in God right now. I got a place, and I'm going to hold my place. You be your own place marker. If you got a mind to work, work it. Work it with all you got. Glory to God. Amen. Have a mind to work. God. Amen. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Ezra was a priest. The Bible says that he was a scribe. And a scribe is that one that writes down everything that is written, everything that's done or said in those days. He didn't have a problem even recording the actions of what went on. And we read that in the Bible, and it's there for us to understand and know our God. And when you begin to know who God is, you begin to spend time with the living God and get a clear understanding of who God is. Glory to God, just that Ezra, praise God, amen, you will want to get back to the scriptures, get back to your place in God. Your mind to work, amen, will be strong. You begin to strengthen yourself in God. People can't change your mind. Glory to God, amen. The work you put in God, amen, you'll be so crazy about doing that work. People will say you a fanatic. Yes, I am for Jesus. I am. I'm crazy for Jesus. I am sold out for Jesus. Hello, people will call you a holy roller. Yes, I am. Watch me roll all over the floor for God. Come on. Because you got a mind now to serve God. Glory to God, and the only thing that's going to saturate that is the word of God. You'll find him in the word. Nehemiah and Ezra, they saw the hurt of the people. There's a hurt in the body of Christ. And sometimes that hurt comes from what you're doing in God. And sometimes it comes because the enemy don't like that you walked away. And sometimes he sent that to distract you, to turn you away from what you're doing in God, because he knows that what you're doing is good. He knows that you're doing a good work, so he'll send something to distract you and to affect change in you. And it's the wrong kind of change, and because you begin to follow him, you begin to lose your place in God. That's what he's working for. If you have a place in God, hold on to it. Wherever you are in God, if you don't have a place, I invite you to come. Come and reestablish your place in God. Come. If you really have a place in God, come and strengthen that place. But if you want a place in God and you want to reestablish your place in God, and listen, when I'm done praying with you, I don't want you to let nothing and nobody distract you. Because we're coming to a time now where our life depends on it. Our life depends on our fellowship with God. Do you understand? Because the devil knows that he can kill us if he just catch us out of our place. He got a door opener there where he can destroy us. So it's time. Come here, Lord. Anoint that vision. Brother Emmett, you made your rededication to the Lord last week, and I'm going to pray for your strength in God to stand firm. Because God has brought you a mighty long ways. You understand that. And the work that God has set in you, you don't even feel it yet, but you'll start to. Because I see something twirling around your feet. And it's like, oh, I don't know if you've seen Saturn, the picture of Saturn, I think, in this, they have on in the science book, there's like a film around it. Around them. There's something around your legs that's placed there. And it's a ring. It's a holy ring. And it's going to direct you. I remember Ezekiel said, I saw the Lord. And when he moved, it was like a wheel in the midst of the wheel. And so now your feet, okay, right, okay, you walk a lot now. You did that minute, you walk. In your walking, God is going to do something. Not just physically for you, but spiritually. It's time now. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that there's going to be a heart change like never before. Not just your physical heart, because he got that in his hand, but your spiritual heart, your inner man, is about to focus. But you need to pick the Bible up and read it. Don't worry about where you should go and where you should read. I'm not going to tell you. Just open your Bible. Because every time you open your Bible, I will direct you where to read. Somebody bring their Bible. Tell me the Bible. Open that Bible. Open it. Open it. Put your hand on the Bible. When you open that Bible, I will put your hand. And you say, Lord, show me where to read. And the Holy Spirit is going to touch your hands. And God's going to start turning the pages. And wherever the page stops, that's where you start reading from. God is going to talk to you in his scriptures. You have to pull away. You understand that? You have to stop right. And you do exactly what I told you to do. And don't you listen to nothing in your ear but God. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say your life depends on this. You understand? Take the Bible. Take it. Put your hands up. Mm-hmm. reason I did that is because this is how God dealt with me.
Lord, Father, God is moving quickly. Turn around. Get up over here. Put your hands raised up in the air. Come on, come on, come on, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I come against every principality, every ruler of darkness, God. Oh, come from the blood of Jesus. Apply against every wicked device that come against this vessel. I come against sickness in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that every spirit of obedience that fall upon her, Lord God, that she walk in newness of life. That the very sickness that was
Oh, That's it right there. That's it, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
He said he wanted to represent you, God. Let know that holiness represents
represent you. Oh God, let it stand holy and stand firm in the name of Jesus. Every wicked spirit that come against him, God. Oh God, we come, we clap, and God, we decree healing and deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God. In Jesus' name. The Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Every time you try to go wrong, God will shake you right. Remember, I asked you, did you come willingly, right? That is every time you go wrong, God will shake you right. And when God starts shaking, it ain't like mama's shaking you. Things start happening. Okay? So if you go wrong, whatever you end up at, God allowed it to happen. If you stay right, you don't have a problem. Tell the Lord. Come on. God, pray for our young people. The devil is alive. Glory to God. He's trying to destroy them.
Thank you.